Mr. Chairman of the Republican Party in the United States, Ryan Priebus, welcome to Analysis 830.
Hey, thank you for having me on the show. I really appreciate it.
Thank you very much. We wanted to talk to you in reference to the press release that you published at the end of July, in which you mentioned that the Republican Party has stood with the U.S. citizens for over 70 years.
That's
and
right.
That you guys are supporting Puerto Rico's free determination.
Well, that's 100% right. Since 1944, the Republican Party has supported Puerto Rico's right to self-determination and taking a vote, and then obviously working with Congress to make sure that the vote is binding and that it can ultimately, if the folks in Puerto Rico so choose, become a part of the union. And so it surprises a lot of people for one reason or the other that it's in our platform. But, you know, consider the fact that at a national convention since 1944, every delegate from the 50 states and the territories come to the convention and pass a provision that says that the people of Puerto Rico should be allowed to take a vote, and if they so choose, should be able to join in the union. And we stand with that today, and we're really proud of that position.
Now, I must say that as a Republican, it took me by surprise, because Puerto Rico has had it has gone to bat at Congress many times, and it has not been able to approve a binding resolution in order for us to vote down here. As you know, Congress, the Republicans dominate Congress, and what does this press release means in terms of support and having a, like, the resolution HR 2000 or the one in the Senate 2020 being approved?
Well, what it means is that you've got the Republican National Committee re-engaging on this issue, which I think is fairly significant for people to keep in mind, and that at a time when both Republicans and Democrats, I think, are talking about this issue, you also have the National Party joining in, giving it more horsepower and more legs than it's had in a very long time. And I've got to tell you, personally, people like Governor Fortuño, I think that Zoe Fundelales in Puerto Rico has been active, Jose Fuentes, former Attorney General down there. They have been, Carlos Mendez, they have been very, very active in making sure that the Republican National Committee is aware of the issue, is involved on the Hill. And you know what? For the National Party, as you say, to then issue a press release and reignite the issue, I think it's a pretty big deal. I am a fan of self-determination. It is ultimate democracy. It has been a principle of ours for a long time, and it's the decision of the people there, and that's what we believe. And I appreciate you, and obviously the people of Puerto Rico. My sister lived there for 4 years. I was engaged on the beach in front of the old Westin Rio Mar by El Yunque, so has a special meaning to me, but that's beside the point. This is about what's right and what's wrong, and it's a position that is long held by our party, and we need to stand up for the positions that we take.
We appreciate that. You on the press release, you also mentioned that Puerto Rico's liberal governor, Alejandro Garcia Padilla. What do you mean by that?
Well, look, I think that, this is my opinion, but I think that when Governor Fortuño was there, I think that things were much smoother in regard to working on the Hill. I think that Governor Fortuño really led the way of reform in our entire country here on the mainland. And I think people on both sides of the aisle looked at Governor Fortuño as a person that could bridge Republicans and Democrats together on this issue just with his approach, his demeanor, and his leadership. And I think the new governor there kind of took a step backwards, and it's just that it's more caustic. It isn't as cooperative, and in many regards, Governor Fortunio kind of stepped in here with the leadership of the party in Puerto Rico and got the RNC reengaged, so that when folks in Puerto Rico were working on the Hill trying to get sponsors for the bill, that's when Fortunio and Zori and Jose came into the RNC and said, hey, this is a principle of the party. We've taken this position since 1944. It's time for the RNC to reengage and do the right thing. And that's what happened. And so I think you guys should be proud of that group of people that have really stepped up and worked hard to get this back on the table. Because it is. I mean, this really is happening up here, and I think it's the credit to a lot of hardworking people down in Puerto Rico. And I think hopefully, you know, you see a national party that puts its money where its mouth is.
We have a Puerto Rican whose name is Jose Luis Fernandez. He's running for the Republican Party on District 7 in New York versus Lidia Velasquez. He's a good friend of mine, and he's been here on my show. How is the Republican Party supporting his fight against Nidia?
His fight against... you trailed off there.
Okay. A very good friend of mine, Jose Luis Fernandez, is running for the Republican Party in New York on District 7 against Congresswoman Nidia Velasquez. How is the Republican Party supporting Jose Luis?
Oh, okay. That's easy. We are paying for the RNC, so let me just kind of explain this. I don't want to bore your listeners, but pay for the entire infrastructure from the national level, not in the state or the campaign, for all of the targeted congressional races. So in other words, the people on the ground, the absentee ballot mail, the targeting of the mail, who gets the ballot, and then what we call the absentee ballot chase program. So after you target your voters as far as who you think you need to make sure votes, you then send those voters an absentee ballot request form. Then we send in paid people to go and make sure that the actual universe of people that you're chasing actually turn in their absentee ballot. That entire operation, we've spent a lot of money in New York in those congressional races, almost that entire operation in those targeted congressional races is paid for by the national committee. The only reason I say almost is that, you know, every state's a little different on the formula, but when you think about what does the national party do in a midterm, it's a little different in the midterm than the presidential. We do about everything in the presidential. In a midterm, all of the mechanics, the ground game, the data, the digital operation, the Hispanic, the Asian, the black engagement across the country, all of the things that are kind of boring to talk about but really important, those are the things that we do the most of, and those are the things we've got to get better at.
For this midterm election and for the next presidential election, what is the Republican National Party planning to do to go against Obama's fundraising internet machine?
Yeah, well, we've improved a lot when it comes to digital and data. And for one thing, you know, we've got software engineers and digital analysts that are part of our operation. We opened a Silicon Valley office out in California. We've built new platforms, new query tools, acquired 5,000 points of consumer data on every single voter in the entire population. So we've got better tools, better equipment. And, you know, even in the midterm, you might be surprised, but the RNC actually outraised the DNC by anywhere from $15 to $20 million. So they're not beating us head-to-head. They do a better job with billionaires out there, which is surprising to people. But when it comes to the hard money, RNC versus DNC, there really isn't any comparison.
You established and started what it's called the Growth and Opportunity Project, in which Madame Zoraida Fonalleda, it's part of it. What are the results of that project?
Well, the results are that we've got a national party that's figured out that you can't just show up once every 4 years, 5 months before the election. You got a party that's figured out you can't just be a U-Haul trailer of cash for a presidential nominee, but we need to be a party focused in the communities over the long period of time, 4 years in a row, not 4 months ahead of time, everywhere, all the time, and not just sitting around, not talking about, you know, you don't have to sit there and talk about energy policy, but you have to have a pizza party, bring in a band, get to know voters. And then when election day comes, you bring those voters into the polls and make sure that they vote, and you win. Community engagement over the long haul is what the future is for our party. We are a good midterm party, but we have got to get our act together to be a good presidential year party that can win a big cultural vote in our country, which has a lot more to do with mechanics than anything else. And mechanics, I understand, can be dry, but I will tell you, it is where the Democrats play. It's what they do well. And we have got to be better at being engaged in activities that a lot of people don't find all that interesting, but are extremely important to us winning.
What is the Republican Party planning to do also for the state of Florida, which has been very important in all elections, and also, you know, pretty soon you're going to have over 1 million Puerto Ricans in there, and Obama has been able to capture that vote.
Well, that's a good example of what happens when you just show up, you know, 5 months before an election, and you've got the Democrats putting 10 people every 10 blocks in Hialeah and Kissimmee and everywhere in between. Well, the group that's putting 10 people every 10 blocks, going to every community festival, every church festival, every activity, while it's not as exciting as going to the cocktail reception with the governor or Mitt Romney or whoever, I can guarantee you it's more effective to be at every one of those events for 4 straight years than spending, you know, $40 million on television. And so it's what we're doing in Florida is exactly that. We've got paid staff all over the state. We've had them in there for over a year. We're going to stay there after November. We've got a Hispanic engagement program in Florida that started last year with paid people at the state level, regional level, local level, and it's that kind of dogged commitment that we have to have as a national party if we're going to get better when it comes to turnout, and that's what it is. I mean, people can analyze this all day long, but turnout and engagement is the future of our success.
Bottom line, can Puerto Ricans expect a broader support in Congress and in Senate for us to vote for the status that we want?
Well, that's a tough one. I mean, I want to tell you what you want to hear, and I just don't, you know, I'm not the guy that gets to choose the outcomes on policy, but I can tell you that we've got great leaders that are involved in this, and there were over 12 co-sponsors, which I will tell you is very rare to have 12 Republican co-sponsors on this bill when we have the majority and the Democrats are proposing the bill. What you have is a bipartisan situation here that I think makes things very promising for those of you that want to go this direction and get that binding vote. But, you know, making that promise, you've got to understand, I can't do that, but I can tell you that obviously I think things are looking very interesting for the future, and I'm glad that there's a lot of Republicans that are helping out with something that our party supported since 1944.
Ryan, thank you very much for giving us this interview, and we would like to keep in touch as the election comes and in the
sure.
future. Thank you very much.
Hey, God bless. See you soon.
Thank you. Ahí ustedes escucharon al chairman del Partido Republicano en los Estados Unidos, Ryan Priebus. Y les voy a explicar en español básicamente todo lo